These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The glory, you'll notice, is to the Son. Glorify thy Son. Now, in our three Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, we have a story about a man named Jesus, a historical story. Sometimes a God-man. What he said, what he did. John gives us a different story, not of Jesus the man, God, but of Christ, the Spirit, living through and as that which we call Christ Jesus. And so John takes us into the metaphysical aspect of life, and finally in his revelation, into the higher mysticism which the world had missed. Today we see a world in which man has not found a living God. The religions of the world have not been able to produce one. We see that in the East, man is living out his karma under bondage to the belief that he must do that. We see that in the West, man is hanging on to the coattails of Jesus, even hoping someday he will return. And we find that John, having known the Spirit, having lived with he who came through unreality into reality, and being probably the foremost disciple of the Master, now brings us the seven messages to the churches, with promises far beyond anything that has been presented to us by any form of orthodoxy known to man. I'd like you to hear again those promises in the letters to the seven churches, each of them a revelation, not of a hereafter, not of a tomorrow, not of something to be attained after you die. Each of them a promise, but really a statement of an established fact. Listen now. These were the seven promises in the seven letters. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. And ask yourself if that tree of life is somewhere in heaven, around the corner, in the sky, or in the future. Is it a living tree? Is it present? Are you being told that there is a consciousness that lives in and of the substance of God? which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And you recall the words, glorify thy Son. Eternal life. Now, not hurt of the second death. Has orthodoxy told us not to be hurt of the second death? Or has it told us to crawl on our stomachs and pray for a little crumb so that we can be admitted somewhere, sometime, into a heavenly portal? What is this second death? To him that overcometh will I give to eat of this hidden manna. Hidden but present, as the kingdom of God within us. And we'll give him a new white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. The body of the soul, the white stone. Is it tomorrow? Or is it a living fact now? Is the name Christ tomorrow, or is it a fact now? Whoever receives it knows it now. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end of what? Unto the end of the false selfhood. Unto the end of the belief in humanhood. Unto the end of the belief in mortality, unto the death of all that is unreal and unlike the Father, unto the death of material consciousness, unto the death of the lie about God. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over nations, over matter. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Who is this I? Jesus? Or Christ? As Christ receiveth of the Father, for I, Christ, go unto the Father. Who is this I, this Christ, if not the I of your being? As the I of your being receiveth of the Father, where else can you receive of the Father except in the I of your being? And I, the Christ of your being is that I, will give him the morning star. Where will the light of illumination come from except from the light of your own being? I, the light of your being, am the morning star. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, the soul body, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And so in I, realized, in conscious union with the Spirit of God in yourself, aware of your identity, you step out of that which is imitation, that which is concept, that which is counterfeit, that which is transient, that which is temporal, that which is not. And without going anywhere, you stand revealed as the Son of God, standing, living, being in that which is real, perfect, eternal. Now, where you are, to him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Your reincarnating days are over when identity is realized. For that is the purpose of all that has come to this point. What are we overcoming then? We are overcoming me, that I may shine forth. We are overcoming the limited span of life. We are overcoming the finite mind. We are overcoming the finite sense of body. We are dying to that which never was, that we may live in the spirit, without a remnant of material consciousness to pull us back out of Eden, without the human animosities, without the human thought, without the human images, without bondage to the flesh, without fear, without doubt, with total assurance that where I stand is the kingdom of God here and now. Is there another? Are there two worlds? Or do we overcome the illusion that there is this world and my Father's kingdom? And so we find these are promises. But they are more than promises. They are invisible facts. They exist. There is a consciousness that lives in the kingdom of God here and now. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And these are the promises. Now these seven promises are only the prologue of the revelation of St. John. They certainly are a weather vane to tell us that the human race has been moving in the wrong directions. Divinity is the least known commodity to mankind. Perfection, absence of fear, joy in the living presence of God within us, awareness of that divinity in our neighbor, the removal of all the veils, the differences, the prejudices, the beliefs. These are not for tomorrow. These already have been removed. They do not exist in your true identity. And John, in his first vision, in his first resurrection, was lifted into mastership, out of self, that he might reveal to you and to me, to the world, the nature of the invisible which we cannot discern with our human minds. He starts with a key word in his first vision in the fourth chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Just a moment before that he had said, and heard the voice say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And now behold, a door was open. And we have to say to ourselves, why did it open for him? If I stand at the door and knock, if reality, if Christ is knocking at my consciousness now, why doesn't my consciousness open as John's did? And the word is after. After that, I looked. After what? After he had surrendered his personal selfhood. After he was completely purified of self-will. After he no longer sought through the power of his mind or the power of his fist or the power of any material form or commodity to live, but rather to live completely and solely through the activity of the Spirit. Not by might, nor by power. Not a statement, but a way of life. A way of life in which he totally ceased to be John, but could join those who had before him said, I live, yet not I. Christ, and only Christ, liveth my life. After that I looked, and behold, the door opened. After he had submitted to the discipline of becoming a pure and empty vessel, living completely by divine revelation. Then he looked, and he was in the invisible. He was lifted out of this dimension and he beheld what human eyes have never seen. For now he was looking through his soul. Are we to do the same? Can we? Is that not the meaning of pick up thy cross? Deny thyself, follow me. Are we still living in a mental universe, a physical universe? Now we can stand behind John and watch what happens in the soul universe. When we walk out of the dimensions of time and space and form and motion and human activity, when the flesh is no more, when we're not in the consciousness of a physical form, behold, the door is open. We stand in new dimensions. We're looking through the eyes of the soul. The first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Hereafter to men who live in time, but now to those who live in spirit. He was seeing it now, not hereafter. And what he saw in the now is in the now, now. Whatever John saw in the now, in this new dimension of consciousness, is present this moment. It is not in the hereafter, except to those who live in the third dimension of consciousness. And so we are privileged to stand behind the veil in the now, seeing what men will see in the hereafter of time. Immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. In the Lord's Prayer we have said, Father, thy will be done. And if that's all we did, you will now see how shallow a phrase that is until it comes from the very depth of your being. For here we're going to see that the will of the Father is being done. It doesn't require a human instrument at all. There's no power on this earth that can persuade the will of the Father to go into action or to stop action. The human mind, hoping to influence God, has tried so hard. Father, let thy will reach me and make it good. Make it make me better, relieved, comfortable, secure. But that will has already done all of that. Everything your human mind could possibly think of seeking has already been done by the will of the Father. And John is showing us that you don't have to petition the will of God. You have to recognize that it is functioning. You have to accept that the will is functioning. You have to know that because it is functioning, regardless of what you see, the perfect will of the perfect Father is functioning right where you stand, and it makes no difference what appearances come your way. Nothing that you could possibly do on this earth can prevent the perfect functioning of the will of God, which is a permanent dispensation. Every error you think you have committed has not in one whit affected the perfect will of the Father, which was present, maintaining a perfect government right where you believe you committed an error. You didn't. It is not possible. The will of the Father would not commit an error in his kingdom, and there is no other place. Yes, you have an error in the illusion, and you're not forced to live there. And so John is lifting the veil to show us the nature of the will of God. And to him it comes as a throne. The consciousness that is God contains within itself a throne, which is the will of God. This is how he sees it through the soul. And what is seated on that throne, within the consciousness of God, is the throne, the will. And seated on that throne is who? Jesus Christ? Yes, but is that all? Seated on the throne of the will of God is the complete spiritual household of those who walk in Christ. We are all destined to be seated on that throne. The power of God, the power of that will, exemplified by Christ, the collective Christ, is seated on that throne. And why is Christ seated on the throne of the will of God? Because Christ is the King. Christ in you is now seated on the throne of the will of God. And if you wish to reach the will of the Father, if you wish to live under the power of that will, you cannot do it of your own human self. You must go to the kingdom of God within you, the Christ, who is seated on the throne of the Father. To many of us, these are words. To John, it was an experience. Out of the flesh, in which Christ to him became tangible. not as a limited personal Christ, but as an infinite Christ. A Christ who is King of the kingdom of God. A Christ who makes us all joint heirs in this kingdom as we find the way within to the self, to the identity of being, out of the turmoil of human thought. And so now to John, this is real. There is the infinite consciousness of the Father, the infinite will within the consciousness, the infinite Christ within the will. All one. And all power is in the Christ. For the will of God functions, activates the Christ, and the Christ is the divine image and likeness of the Father. Slowly, the Word lifts us out of human thought, out of human planning, out of human differences, and we find an invisible power drawing us into oneness with the Christ of our own being. We become single-pointed. We are not diffused minds seeking in many directions for many things. We learn to abide in the sure, positive awareness that Christ in me is one with the will of the Father, that will which is ever functioning, ever maintaining a perfect divine government, is active as the Christ of my being now. It is becoming real, a living Christ, the living action of a living God. It is present. It is ever now. It is ever completely independent of the images that walk the earth. I become aware of that omnipresent Christ, that omnipresent will, that omnipresent spirit, that omnipresent light, that omnipresent power. And I learn to abide in it with confidence. I learn that grace is omnipresent, peace is omnipresent, joy is omnipresent, love is omnipresent, the fullness of the Father's selfhood has always been where I am. Through the eyes of Christ, that becomes an experience, and then a continuing experience, until it is a permanent dispensation. Where are your problems when Christ is your consciousness? Where are these dual veils of fear and doubt? What possible evil can be present in omnipresence? Did your eye see something that was wrong? Something that you wished hadn't been? What of it? Are we living in appearances? Or are we glued to Christ within? Are we not free of mortal thought when we have released ourselves to Christ? Can we not rest in the knowledge that His government was not pushed aside by some physical act in our so-called world? Can we not retire and remain in the center of our being until there's no center anymore? It is all that we are. John is doing that for us as we move in the higher consciousness. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. These precious stones the brilliance of the sardine stone and the jasper the emerald hue that encircled the throne, all of this and the rainbow were the symbols seen of the omnipresent Spirit in its full omnipotence and full omniscience. These sublime qualities appeared now to John, and there was the rainbow. The return to conscious union with God. Oneness, sonship. The sign of the covenant between God and man. When you see this bow in the heavens, when you see this bow in your consciousness, you are the pure at heart. For there is no darkness in the Father, and when there is darkness, there is no rainbow. When there is no black in the white light, you see the rainbow. When there is no darkness in your consciousness, the full spectrum of omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience are functioning in your being and appear as a visible rainbow within you. The sign of illumination. The light without darkness, for in him is no darkness at all. And now John is in conscious union with God. All is light. All is purity. All is the awareness that there is no evil. There is no darkness. It is impossible. For God is all. Spirit fills all space, all time. Where then is evil? No longer in the consciousness of John, for he has risen above that dimension of thought which knows and believes and reacts to the appearance of evil. And so the rainbow, the consciousness which is no longer divided into good and evil, into light and dark, into God and something else, but the consciousness that God is all, that Spirit is all that can be. Why only John? What about us? Do we believe there is aught but Spirit? aught but God? Do we still believe there is such a thing as evil, error, problems? We know better. We simply haven't remained alert. We haven't let them dissolve by touching the light of our consciousness. We have even let them tempt us into reaction and given them a life they do not have. This inner rainbow, this light, this glory, this realization takes you out of body consciousness. You still appear in the world. You're visible to others. But your consciousness lives in reality. There are no opposites in your consciousness now. Whatever you discern is that which is in the kingdom of God, under divine law and ever perfect. You have shattered the belief in a human lifespan that begins with birth and ends with death. You are your pre-existent self, reunited with the Father, living as the one eternal life. That is the permanent truth of your being. You are not divided against yourself. All this is symbolized by the rainbow. The inner vision of heaven. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. It was Zechariah who said, "Neither by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." My spirit, my commandments, and these are the lightnings, the thunderings, and the voices that proceed from the throne of God to those who are attuned to the shepherd within to receive direct guidance, direct inspiration, the bread of life itself, the hidden manna, from the source instead of from human ministers, instead of from those who profess to dispense the word of God. You are being told that the word must come from the source, that the fountain of your being provides the living waters of truth, and nowhere else can truth be attained. The lightnings, the thunders, the voices must come from your own inner spirit. The will of God in you. Thy will be done. Thy lightnings, thy thunders, thy voice. Not the voice of man. To that we respond. And so John feels now the experience of oneness, of inseparability from the infinite source. He is drinking deeply from the fountain of life itself. He is living by the word that proceedeth from the throne of God. Not by his human instincts, not by his personal sense of life, not by his own ambitions or desires. These have been abandoned. He has been born into unself, that self which has no personal motives, which lives completely by serving the Spirit. And this is the way we are learning to walk. Do you sense, perhaps, that the wayward impulses in us, the fears and the doubts, the hopes, the ambitions, the plans, are all no longer necessary, but are merely distractions from that single-pointed purpose of serving the will of God in you? Can you see that in serving that will, every possible hope you could probably have would have been taken care of in advance by the Father who knoweth your needs? Do you see how we are being led into the effortless life? The life that is not struggling to attain, but rests in its own identity as the attainment already established before the foundations of the world? We are seeing the inner operation of the divine government, the consciousness, the will, the power invested in Christ. Christ, the kingdom of God in you. The chain of command has been set up for you to consciously accept by dwelling in the awareness of Christ in you. For Christ in you is already all-knowing, all-powerful, all-presence. What is excluded there? What has been withheld from your being if Christ in you is all there is? All wisdom, all life, all power, eternal being. Has anything been withheld from your being? So we are being turned from the false sense of self, which walks apart from Christ, seeking survival, struggling, planning, thinking, hoping, maneuvering, all in the counterfeit mind. Christ should be coming very real to us. As the living Son of God, standing where we have thought of ourselves as human flesh. That rainbow should be bursting forth any moment now. Enabling you to say, oh, whereas before I was blind, now I see. In my own true selfhood, I am omnipresent. I am omniscient. I am omnipotent. The power I was trying to secure is a thimble compared to what I already am. The supply I thought I lacked, I didn't lack at all. I couldn't see the invisible manna, the incredible abundance beyond all human imagination, waiting to shower forth through Christ realized. I was trying to climb into the door of heaven the wrong way. I thought I had to do it. But all the time I, Christ, have been knocking at the door of your consciousness. Isn't there a manger in there somewhere where you can admit me? Even in a little stable. Let me come in. I will feed you. The child will lead you. The babe will grow up and will blaze your trail into the kingdom of God. And so we learn to admit the Christ into consciousness. We too open the door. We too behold the throne. We too feel the power of the will of the Father. We too see the rainbow. And we learn that the light we see, we are. We are that light. For Christ is that light. The eye of your being is the light of the Father. Nothing to seek, nothing to attain, simply to be that infinite self which you are. And rest. And behold His glory where you stand. To those of us who will make the effort to stand at the door of thought and watch the human world's thought enter, and learn the art of stilling that thought, unresponding to that thought, completely non-resistant to that thought, we will take our dominion over that thought. And as the thought of the world makes no penetration, does not tempt you to react, to maneuver, to improve, to correct, but to see through the veil of human thought, to stand ye still, to know His will is here, it is being done. His will is perfection. Perfection is being done. There is no power on earth to stop perfection from being done here and now. Then you will grasp the glorious truth that you have been going through an initiation with many trials, many temptations, many diverging, distracting influences, all of which you had thought, oh, what did I do to bring this upon myself? You didn't. They are not happening. They only seem to be. Every problem you are facing now is part of your initiation. Perfection is. That is the fact. The problem is the denial that perfection is. But that doesn't change the fact. Where do you stand? That determines your experience. If you think life can be less than life, if you think God can be less than God, then your problems to you are something you have to fight and struggle against. But if you are living in the consciousness of Christ in you, accepted, Can Christ and the problem exist in the same place and the same time? What is John doing for us? He is lifting the veil of hypnotism. He is revealing the mesmerism through which the five senses present to us a physical problem, an emotional problem, a human problem, a mental problem, a social problem, a financial problem, where there is no problem, where there is only Christ. And the initiation then is, can you overcome the belief that Christ is absent and instead come to the knowledge that the problem is absent? For Christ is living, present as your being. Every acceptance of a problem is the denial of your own identity. Do you see that? When you accept a problem, you are denying yourself to be the Son of God. But you say, I can't be the Son of God, because look, would this problem happen to the Son of God? The answer is no, it would not. And therefore, it did not. Because the fact that you are the Son of God does not change. Identity does not change. And you're right, this problem wouldn't happen to the Son of God. And you are the Son of God. Then where is the problem? It is in the world mind, is it not? It is being presented to you by the world mind, and what is your individual human mind doing about it? You're agreeing, yes, world mind, there is a problem. I'm not Christ, I'm not the Son of God, I'm just a poor old mortal. Dig me a coffin. Let me die. But not John. Not those who have come this far. Not those who are willing to stand and be the children of the resurrection. We stand. We behold the salvation of the Lord. Who is this Lord whose salvation we behold? Christ within, present, doing a great job, running a perfect government right here, in spite of what you experience in the images of the human mind. Now, as you firm up your awareness of self, you'll discover the power of non-resistance to the hypnotism of images of this world does the work for you. You can put that sword on back in the scabbard. You can take that mind which wants to reason out logically just why this isn't so. You can put it back on the shelf. You can stand on nothing except identity without defense. Not only can you, but it is the way you will learn, because it is the Father's will that you learn that way. You must learn that the Christ needs no defense, neither mental nor physical, because the Christ walks in the kingdom of God in spite of every appearance that denies it. The great temptations of Jesus were temptations that face us all in greater or lesser degrees, and in an infinite assortment of temptations, and each must be faced the same way. This cannot happen because God is all. And so the mesmerism of the human mind falls on a consciousness that is unmoved by the visible, tangible evidence of the five sense mind. John had shed all belief in the possibility of evil and error. That's why John is where he is, in this consciousness of reality. You must weed these concepts out of your mind. And all of the weeding is a daily, unceasing activity. We mustn't let these small trials upset us. And when we do that, we'll find the bigger trials will not penetrate the armor of light that we wear. Don't make the mistake of thinking we're turning from problems because we're weak, because we want to pretend they're not there. No. But rather because we know that in the presence of God, who is everywhere, the problem is nothing but the false activity of a carnal mind. It didn't happen because it couldn't happen. God didn't leave that scene, ever. And even though your human mind says, I don't understand it, you will reach the consciousness which transcends the human mind, which does not understand it. And then you will see the material world as a sequence of images and thought. Bombs and airplanes and automobiles and streets, people, all physical things. You will rise above the belief in the physical world. You will be able to move without violating divine law. And all because the will of the Father functioning through the Christ of you, received, accepted, faithfully lived in, does the work for you. Grace does the work for you. Grace moves you. Grace thinks you. Grace activates you. Grace opens the door for you. Only when you have willingly learned devotedly to divest yourself of the personal, the will of the human being. You have denied thyself, taken up thy cross, and you are following Christ within. Now, if you still want the problems, you can have them. But if you do not want them, Christ within is the way. Now we're going to see how this Christ within works a little bit. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. We have 24 seats, 24 elders, crowns of gold on their heads. They're all around the throne, the will of God. Now, these 24 elders on the 24 seats are the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth heavens, all around the seventh. These are the various levels of consciousness ahead of us as we step out of the third degree, the third dimension, into the fourth. fifth, and sixth. And these are all degrees in the will of God, so that they are being shown to John as very tangible. He is seeing circles of eight. Eight elders, fourth heaven, eight elders, the fifth heaven, eight elders in the sixth heaven. And those are the 24 seats, the 24 elders. The circles of eight in the three redeemed heavens above this. Redeemed in the sense that the souls are now no longer hampered by physical forms, by human concepts, by human will. And these elders represent those who have gone before us, having attained that unselfing which you and I are going through now. An elder is not an individual, but rather a group, a complete host of angels makes one elder. And so every elder is really a complete spiritual household with thousands and thousands and thousands of angels in one elder. And they are arranged in fourth, fifth, and sixth heavens, so that each comes closer to the throne. And this is the progression you and I are going through. The moment we enter the fourth dimension, we will be that much closer to the total will of the Father. And within each heaven is a certain degree of wisdom, a certain boundary, a certain level. And this is called the elder. We become elders as we enter the fourth dimension.